Thank you again, Mr. Smith, and hello again to everybody. Over the past year or so, and going back even further, we have all noticed some very interesting different news events that have been taking place, not just in this country, but around the world. Interesting because of the frequency of certain types of news events, increasing both in frequency and intensity, and also in locations of the different things. And since the feast, these particular events have been increasing as well. Things like the weather. You know, we've actually talked about this before, but the number of storms that have been happening around the world and in this country, the length of the storms that they've been around, and also the severity of the effects of some of these storms, like floods and some of the winds that have been very intense, hurricanes and tornadoes. Out of season, even. There's a hurricane season, but some of those hurricanes actually in this country started before the season and lasted after the season. Interesting as you look at all of that. And some of the locations where those took place, also interesting in the increasing intensity as well as the location and frequency. Diseases, another element that is in the news quite a bit, increasing the cancer, different types of cancer that has been hitting people. In children, where years ago we did not have as much cancer in children as we see now, and in some of the young folks as well. Even some new illnesses that are caused by insects and also by some of the bacteria and the infections that are around that we didn't even have 20 years ago, that some of those things that we're seeing now. Crimes. Different types of crimes, the locations of them, the types that we're hearing about, and the cruelty of some of these crimes. The number of shootings that have been taking place in the locations in schools, and we've heard about that over the last several years, but it seems to be increasing as well. Out in the open, not just inside of buildings, but in malls as well. Bombs, bank ATMs being smashed and grabbed out of stores. Also break-ins of different types and also killings. We hear more and more about that as well. Fighting, wars and rumors of wars, the numbers of attacks and the destruction that comes along with them, not just in the Middle East, but of all around the world in the different areas like some of the terrorist events that are taking place. Increasing in numbers and the frequency and the locations all over the place in regards to this. Paris, that wasn't that long ago, and then Belgium right after that. And this week, of course, San Bernardino and the problems that came because of that. There have been 55 events just of this type this year alone around the world. That's a lot. And 20 years ago, we didn't have this type of thing that's going on now. Many countries are looking for this to increase just because of the mindset and the cultures that are feeding this. And they're asking for high alerts and also for asking us to stay focused and to pray. And, of course, that's an interesting thing, too, to stay focused and to pay attention to what's going on around us. It's very important. This actually brings back to memory, at least it did for me, a prophecy that we actually looked at a while ago that we found in the book of Leviticus. So let's begin by turning there to the book of Leviticus. And we'll start in in chapter 26. On the surface, it would seem that this particular prophecy is only meant for the children of Israel. And many think that it is actually meant for the tribe of Judah, or as some would say, for the Jews. Without going into all the details, I think all of us do realize that this actually affects us today. In 2015, all of the 12 tribes of Israel and also God's called out and chosen children and for this country as well, the United States of America, and by extension, the rest of the world as well. Leviticus chapter 26, and there are three verses in chapter 26 where the term seven times more is used, verse 18, verse 21, and verse 24. But starting in verse 14, God gives us the reason for all of this. Why is this all taking place? because of sin. Let's read this, at least this part of it, Leviticus 26, and we'll read verses 14 through 18. I'll read this from the easy-to-read translation, Leviticus 26, beginning in verse 14. But if you don't obey me and all my commands, bad things will happen to you. If you refuse to obey my laws and commands, you have broken my agreement. If you do that, I will cause terrible things to happen to you. I will cause you to have diseases and fever. They will destroy your eyes and take away your life. You will not have success when you plant your seed, and your enemies will eat your crops. I will be against you, so your enemies will defeat you. These enemies will hate you and rule over you. You will run away even when no one is chasing you. After these things, if you still don't obey me, I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And of course, you can read on because God actually goes into more detail. When God goes on to tell us what will happen next, if we continue to disobey him, and I say we as the world, as the people of the world disobeying God, what's going to happen? And of course, looking at his people here in this country as well. 7 times more, increasing both in intensity and in frequency. We covered this before. What we need to do is look at what we are to do with a little more detail. Yes, we are to obey God, and we are to actively choose the way we are to follow through on the things that God teaches us, but all in our words, in our deeds, in our thoughts, and also in our attitudes. We need to make choices, and we need to follow through on those choices. There is one activity we know about, and there are prophecies that cover it. And at first, it does not look like it, yet when we look at what God tells us will happen if we do certain things or if we do not do certain things as we are instructed, he is letting us know and letting us in on the prophetic outcome because of our attitude and our resulting actions because of our attitude. That's right, it has to do with our actions. That we take because of our attitude towards God and towards the things that he teaches us and our choices of how we respond to the instructions that God gives us. And what is it? If you are taking notes, and if you would like a title, we will just title this, The Strength to Give Up. Now, at first, it sounds a little bit backwards, doesn't it? The strength to give up. We are told that we are to fight the good fight, to work to overcome the temptations that befall us. We are to walk by faith as well, and we are to stand the course, resisting Satan's tactics and the temptations. All of this is true, and they are all actions that we should be taking. In fact, we must take as well. To give up sounds like a passive thing, throwing in the towel because of the pressure. And sometimes a feeling of overwhelming pressure that we are hit with. We could cite scriptures that point to our calling and the goal that we are to fight for, to be to have the right kind of relationship with Jesus Christ and with the Father, and to be a part of God's family when Jesus Christ returns to set up the kingdom of God. 2 months ago, we came back from celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, picturing God's kingdom set up for 1,000 years. How could we give that up? We don't. That's not what we're supposed to give up. This giving up has to do with an act of faith, and it requires help from God. The prophecies are what will happen to us depending on our choices of the activities and how we will follow through on our choices. One reaction will lead to eternal life. The other reaction will lead to death. It almost sounds like we are quitting by saying to give up. Giving up is not the same as quitting. There is a process that we are to go through And the process is slow, and the process is known as spiritual growth. Quitting won't speed up the process, nor will it help us achieve our goals. Walking by faith is needed as we give up on self-determined events, selfishness, or the way of doing things from our own selfish desires. There is a different way of saying this as well, and we've heard this saying, let go and let God. This, however, sounds more like quitting and abandoning all involvement to just let go and let God. But one of the most difficult things for us to do in life is to let go of personal attitudes, especially when they're wrong, especially if there's pride involved. To let go of self-directives and let God guide us, then follow His guidance. This second half is extremely hard for us because we still want to follow God. In fact, we've made the commitment, and we do that by coming here on the Sabbath, and throughout the week we try to do what we're supposed to do, and we make that commitment. But we want to follow God our way. That's the human nature, following God our way. An example of this in a different area of our lives would be something like when we go to the doctor and we have some sort of a problem and the doctor tells us what we should do. Something very simple. And we agree, but then we modify his orders. It might be something as simple as, in order to improve our health, we need to lose some weight and start to exercise. So the doctor says, at least for the next 3 months, stop eating ice cream and cut back on bread and bread products. So we agree, and instead of just cutting out, we kind of cut back. And instead of cutting out all the ice cream, we go and get Skinny Cow ice cream. I don't know how many of you ever heard of Skinny Cow. We tried it. It doesn't taste like really good ice cream. It doesn't taste like Breyers or some of the other really good ice creams. It's ice cream, but so we cut back. Or we just have one thin piece of toast in the morning instead of eliminating the bread products altogether. Now we want to go back and see the doctor, and we don't understand why is it that we're having difficulty losing the weight or getting our health back to where it needs to be. We can't lose the weight. We are following the doctor's orders, aren't we? But we're following the orders that the doctor has given us our way. And if we're not careful, we can do just the exact same thing when God gives us instructions. And we can try to obey God and do it the way He instructs us, but we have a tendency, because we have the human nature and Satan's pull on us, to follow God's directives our way. And if we're not careful, that's what will happen. Let's take a look at the book of Luke, if you want to turn to the book of Luke for the first scripture. There are several examples in the Bible of folks who did things their way, showing us that we need to pay attention to how we are supposed to live. Luke chapter 12. We all will give an account for ourselves to God when Christ returns. And that part we actually see in Romans 14, verses 11 and 12, and I'll just read it. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Because of this, we must pay attention to how we live. Every thought that we have, every word, every deed, and our very attitudes as well. Luke chapter 12, and we'll look at verses 16 through 21. I'll read this from the English Standard Translation. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns, and I will build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This rich man made a tragic choice of focusing on living for himself without regard to where his blessings came from. He did not thank God for what he was given. He also made at least two other mistakes as well. First, he focused only on himself in the now. No thought for the life to come. When we focus on our current desires, we blind ourselves from the future. We actually look at our personal satisfactions for the now, living in the now. And this is all that we care about. This is man's human nature. And I know we're all trying to fight that, but we have a tendency to sometimes be affected by Satan to think that way as well. And we have to fight that. Because of this attitude, we can become lukewarm about our spiritual growth. And God tells us that we are to store up treasures in heaven and to be focused on that. Where is our treasure? Where our heart is that's what matters most to us. It is reflected where our heart is in the things that we say and that we do. It affects us and it shows in our attitude as well. And the choices we make and the things that we do and the things that we say and the way that we think and respond with people. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 makes this very clear. And it reads, Matthew 6, verses starting in 19, Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is not saying that we are to be poor and destitute. That's not what this is saying. We are to have the strength to give up our lust for self-gratification and the stuff of this world. A second mistake or shortcoming that this rich man did was he did nothing for others. We are to be in an attitude of serving, helping and giving to others, and doing it because we want to, not because it's an obligation, because God is ordering us to be that way. It's because that we want to. He's instructing us, but it comes from the heart. Jesus pointed out in Luke chapter 10, verses 27, if you want to write that down and turn to there, Luke chapter 10, verse 27, he points out what our priorities should be, to love God first, wholeheartedly, first, and then to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Luke 10, starting verse 25, and it reads, And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, speaking of an individual who was going to test Christ, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And verse 27, And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. God repeatedly warns us to pay attention to our spiritual life. That is what matters the most. It matters to God, and it should matter to us as well. The Lord is to have first place in our lives. He is to be at the center of it, the core. One way we store up treasures, one way that we store up treasures is by caring for and serving others. Ask this, who is my attention focused on? Is it on myself and stuff or on God and serving? Do I have the strength to give up on the me first attitude or am I spiritually short-sighted? prophecy about our future is an if-then consequence. Today we have a choice, and God tells us that we should choose life. We were created to be in a relationship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. One thing we do because of this is to walk and live by faith. And we are to be found so doing. So it's to become a very part of our life. This rich man ignored the guidance that God gives us. He paid the ultimate price of death, eternal death. Our eternal destiny depends on the choices about what our instructions are and the attitude we have towards obeying God and how we follow through. Will we do it God's way or will we do it our way? Maybe modifying a little bit so that we're in control and that element of pride comes out. So we know what to do. Are there any action steps that would help us stay the course? Let's look at the book of James. Using the gift of faith that God gives us to give us strength, and of course it takes strength to use the gifts that God gives us, and He will give us that strength. We ask for it, and then we need to apply those gifts and that strength. And how do we do that? James gives us an answer. In James chapter 1. There are actually several things throughout the Bible that we could look at, but today we're only going to look at four quickly. And here's a good place to start, because in chapter 1 of James there are three elements that we are instructed as we follow this. There's something that we need to keep in mind. We need to have the sense of humility and the sense of meekness. And just as it was brought out in the sermonette, not an attitude of pride or an attitude of arrogance or an attitude of I'm going to do it my way. We need to be humbly following God as we are instructed. Verse 19 and 21 in James chapter 1. Therefore, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of a man does not work out the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and overflowing of evil, receive in meekness the implanted word which is able to save your lives. Three things to practice, having to do with our hearing, having to do with our speaking, and having to do with our attitude. Again, we are looking to God for the strength to give up. The first instruction is to be swift to hear. Proverbs 25, verse 12, and I'll read this from the easy-to-read version. Wise advice to a listening ear is like gold earrings or fine jewelry. It's valuable. It is important for us to have good listening skills. Much value is in this for us. The challenge is focusing on what the other person is saying when we're talking, rather than crafting our own reply or putting in our two cents. What often happens, I think everyone will admit this, is we're in a conversation that we really are enjoying. As somebody says something, right away, we're crafting in our mind how we want to respond, what we want to add to that, or another point that kind of ties into whatever the conversation is. And our being able to understand their perspective before expressing our thoughts is a valuable trait, and it's very worth developing that particular trait rather than right away having our mind go off in different directions to continue this conversation from our control. This is more than waiting for our turn to talk, giving up our control of the flow of the conversation or controlling their input. And it's unfortunate that through life we all tend to do that from time to time. This will also give them the sense of our willingness to share the time with a desire to understand their input. And I think we've all heard the saying, seek first to understand, then to be understood. They will, by doing this, they will show a willingness to share with us as well when it is obvious that we are focused on them and the things that are going on in their life, what they are saying, and the things that are interesting to them. Being a good listener is also important in our spiritual life. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Our faith grows from listening to God's word. Romans 10, verse 17. I'll read this from the English Standard Version. So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. What Paul is saying is that faith comes from our ability to hear what God is telling us in his word and applying what we hear. Faith is actually active. It's not a passive thing. This means that we need to hear the word of God explained, not just our reading from time to time in different ways as we see fit. And then, of course, that gets back to doing things our way when we do that, and teaching ourselves with no guidance, doing it our way. And that is not a good thing. God places a lot of importance, a great value on the preaching of his word. And that's something that we need to do when we're listening, being quick to listen to the things that God is teaching us, both by reading and by listening. James is saying we need to be swift, willing to, and eager to listen. Listening to others, we talk with, more so listening to God from his word. Our faith comes and grows, starting with hearing. Another reason to be quick to hear is the way God speaks to us. We can look at and get an example from 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 19, God spoke to Elijah when he was he was feeling very down because of a bunch of events that had just taken place. God told him to go to a cave, and there this truth was pointed out to him, that God chooses how he is going to speak to us. We don't tell God how to instruct us. We don't tell God how to teach us or to speak to us. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. I'll start in verse 11. And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountain and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face with his cloak and went out of the cave and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? The God of the universe, all powerful, he created everything, he created us, has chosen to communicate with us quietly, a still small voice. He doesn't yell at us. He doesn't shout at us or cry out, ordering us around. And he doesn't roar at us. Who roars? In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, we are told, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It's interesting here, another way to be swift to hear is that in the contemporary Christian music. There is a lot of good contemporary Christian music, but right now there is a song that really sounds good, and a lot of people think it's a great song. And it speaks of God as a roaring lion. Our God is not a roaring lion like Satan is. We need to pay attention there and be swift to hear about some of the words that are in the songs that are out in this world as well. And I think I mentioned this once before. There are over 1,000 contemporary and old songs and hymns that sing praises to Mary. And some of them sound really great. And some of them are in contemporary music today. But we need to pay attention to that and block that out and not listen to that, not learn those words. Satan roars to intimidate us. He threatens us and he belittles us. His desire is to destroy us. Again, here is a mistranslation or a misapplication of, in this case, a term for or a description of Satan going around like a roaring lion in this particular song, applying it to Jesus Christ. And that isn't true. So we need to be careful and to swift to hear about those things that are going on as well. God leads us in love. He leads us with compassion, with gentleness, and allows us to choose and allows us to follow him. He doesn't force us or intimidate us or roar at us to do that. There are other ways to be swift to hear as well, to be vigilant, to pay attention to the things that are going on around us. Be swift to hear. The second instruction is to be slow to speak. We have all heard the saying, sometimes it makes us laugh, that we were given two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. Unfortunately, often we speak twice as much as we listen. That's just human nature, and we do that. God encourages us to be slow to speak and swift to hear. There are several verses where God shows us that we should watch our words and not be so fast to speak. And I will just, rather than turning to all of them, I'll give you the verse. You can write it down, but I'll read them. In Proverbs 10, verse 19, it reads, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent." Proverbs 10, verse 19. In Proverbs 13, verse 3, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." Proverbs 13, verse 3. And in Proverbs 17, verse 28, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." Proverbs 17, verse 28. And Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21, "The fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit." Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21. In Proverbs 25, verse 11, it reads, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." Proverbs 25, 11. And in Proverbs 29, verse 20, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Proverbs 29, verse 20. And from the New Testament, James chapter 1, verse 26. "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." James 1, verse 26. This is no small matter to God. He speaks of this often. And this should not be a small matter to us either, to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Let's go back to James chapter 4, where we see an evil use of the tongue that Satan tricks us often into using. James chapter 4 and verse 11. And this particular verse is a warning to us. James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And I'll start and read from the English Standard Version. "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Verse 12 reads, "There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" Swift to hear, slow to speak. The third instruction is to be slow to wrath. Wrath, another way of saying it is anger, is a major problem in the world today, and we see it in news events. With events like road rage, violent outbursts of different types, drunken brawls, even murders, violent protests, and acts of terrorism. These and many other crimes can all be connected to the attitude of fits of anger. Sometimes the news media will actually get a chance to interview somebody who did something because of anger, where they committed a crime and now they've calmed down a little bit, and somebody will ask them, why did you do this? What were you thinking? And the person will say, they have no idea what they were thinking at the time. They just did it. And it's because of the fits of anger that take over. This morning, Mr. Bickle posted this following quote from Thomas Paine, and I thought it was very appropriate. To argue with a person who has renounced the use of reason is like administering medicine to the dead. That's pretty much it. If you're going to argue with somebody who is in that mindset, it's like giving medicine to a dead person. It's not going to help. Anger will interfere with our ability to think rationally, to speak coherently, to reason or to respond properly. Our choice to stay upset and to react with this attitude in us, it will lead to sin. There are many examples of anger in the Bible, and just to name a couple, and I'm sure you can think of a lot more. King Saul, when he was angry with David. King Azarias, in the book of Esther, there was anger there. And with Haman, there was anger there as well. And with Moses and the soldier that was killed. Man's anger never fits into God's plans, as he has set up the goals for us and his plan for the world, except that he can use and will use it to achieve his will. A great example of anger management, of course, is Jesus Christ. In Psalm 103, verse 8, we read, and I read this from the King James Version, Psalm 103, verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." The God's Word translation reads it this way. "The Lord is compassionate, merciful, patient, and always ready to forgive." God has given us tools to resist anger. Two of the gifts are of the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Spirit, peace and self-control. Other things can be considered here also, and I'll go into, again, a few scriptures. Proverbs 14, verse 29 reads, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." In Proverbs 19, verse 11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overcome an offense. And in Psalm 37, verses 1 through 4, and we'll read there from the easy-to-read translation, Psalm 37, starting in verse 1. A song of David. Don't get upset about evil people. Don't be jealous of those who do wrong. They are like grass and other green plants that dry up quickly and then die. So trust the Lord and do good. Live in your land and be dependable. Enjoy serving the Lord, and he will give you whatever you ask for. When things don't go as we have planned, as we want them to go, or as we would expect them to go, there is a natural tendency for us to become upset. And it could be something as simple as the response of a clerk at the store. We become upset and we begin to develop anger. And sometimes that anger can be overwhelming in the situation that we see or we're involved in at work or with neighbors or even with family. Can be overwhelming, and there is a sense of the natural tendency to want to become angry. But we have to be careful about that, being slow to anger. So being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, the fourth thing that we can include in this group is as we fight selfishness and working to give up the strength to give up, is also a gift that we can use, that we have received from God. And we receive this gift at baptism. And we receive this gift every time we repent and turn to God and ask for forgiveness. And that is what the gift is, the gift of forgiveness. It helps both us and it helps the other person as well. It is a blessing to be and give forgiveness and be forgiving. It blesses others and it blesses us. There is a kind of a peace that comes from being forgiving towards others and when we feel the forgiveness. And it passes by our understanding. It's very difficult for us to understand. Where does this peace come from? That comes from God. Something to consider and live by, regardless of what others say or what others do or don't say. We are to be a forgiving people. Let's look at three verses regarding this. The first one will be in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, and I'll read this from the Good News Translation. We are familiar with this verse as it is a part of the Lord's Prayer, as we know it as the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. Forgive us our wrongs, the wrongs we have done, as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. This particular translation says the wrongs instead of the sins or the transgressions. And it's another way of looking at it. Sometimes people will do things that we feel we have been wronged, and that could upset us. And not knowing the whole situation, realizing that God has forgiven us, we need to turn around and be forgiving to others as well. When we think someone has done us wrong, that is an excellent opportunity for us to show forgiveness. Luke 11, verse 4 also covers this point. And I'll read this from the easy-to-read version. Luke 11, verse 4. Forgive our sins just as we forgive everyone who has done wrong to us. So it's taking this and asking God to forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have wronged us. A little bit different emphasis there. Because sometimes people can wrong us and get us upset that it wasn't a sin. And yet we need to be forgiving as well. Real or imagined, as a child of God, forgiveness is not an option for us to think about. All of us have fallen short. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 reads, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It's a wonderful promise, but something we need to focus on. Having the strength to give up includes humbly admitting we have done wrong, acted unrighteously in sin, then repent, asking God for forgiveness, changing our way of life, and then also being forgiving, applying that in our lives. There is a warning about this in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 John chapter 1 verse 10 reads, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's pretty strong. There is a prophecy about this also in John chapter 13, verse 35, and we read, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. If we say we love others and love at all, but we are not forgiving, what does that say about us? When we are facing rough or terrible times, whatever that happens to be, or even like something as simple as the doctor told us to cut out certain things or do certain things, and we are going to push and get her done our way. If we ever try to do that, get her done. But we're going to get her done our way. And that happens with the doctor, but we have to be careful we don't apply that to the instructions that God has given us. Letting go, giving up, is not an option that we have in our mind, because being human, we're struggling with self-control, and we're also not thinking of that to be one of the tools in our fix-it box, things to do or things to say or the way that we're supposed to do things in the box of tools that we have. Think about this and practice it. It is a blessing to give forgiveness to others. It helps us get our focus back on track. Yet being forgiving is a great challenge, isn't it? Something that's hard for us to do, especially when we really feel hurt because of what somebody said or did, or didn't do or didn't say. We have to be careful that we don't do this our way. Psalm 55, verse 22 reads, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." The courage to let go what we can't change. Something we need to give up are preconceived notions of how life works, or we think it's supposed to work. What all this comes down to is we need to give up on our own will and claim as our own, and this sometimes is a hard thing to wrap our mind around, but to give up and to claim as our own a part of the prayer that Christ prayed in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. And that was when he prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Sometimes we go through a lot of difficult things, and we ask God to remove that particular trial. But again, not according to our will, but according to God's, because He's helping us grow. And that's part of the process to spiritually grow and draw closer to God in the relationship that we have. This is the kind of submission that leads to contentment, that leads to peace, and that leads to joy. Gifts from God. Surrender is hard work, and it takes strength to give up. In our case, it requires intense, ongoing daily warfare against our self-centered pride, our nature, and the attacks that we receive constantly from Satan. He plants a seed, and he doesn't even have to come back and keep pushing at us. That seed grows, and that applies the pressure as well. Sometimes there is a difference in what we want to give up and what we need to give up. We might be holding tightly to something we think is good. It is never wrong to desire good things. Still, there are times when we have to let go of what we think is best. Following God's lead and following His instructions is always best. Other times we fight what we are being asked or told to do. I think our minds automatically will go to work, or when we're little kids, to our parents telling us what to do. And we don't like that. One thing is true for all of us. We need God's help, and we need to ask for it. God knows what we need even before we ask, but He wants us to ask Him for help. There is a consequence that we will face depending on the choices that we make and how we follow up, that being of eternal life or of death. We don't often think about the prophecies that affect us personally. We are warned 7 times more because of sin. And that warning is not just to us personally, but to God's people throughout the world and to the 12 tribes. And we can see that taking place around the world now, if we're willing to hear and listen and pay attention to the things that are going on. The actions we take because of our attitude, our choice of how to respond to the instructions and the guidance from God, will determine our future life or death. Letting go of our human nature to control everything our way is hard. This giving up is an act of faith, requiring help from God, asking for it, and then using it. The rich man made a tragic choice. He chose to focus only on himself. No thought for the life to come, and he did nothing to help others. And he didn't thank God for the blessings that he received. Ask this: do I have the strength to give up on the me first attitude and approach to life in all of my ways, in my thoughts, in my words, in my deeds, and in my attitude? Am I vigilant in being swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath? And do I use the gift of forgiveness as Christ has instructed us? Each of these things is important, and each one of these things is worth working on by itself. But you know, all four of these things together will be a synergistic blessing, not just for us, but for others as well, because it'll affect our personality and our character. For a final scripture, if you would, please turn to Psalm chapter 37. As we face our struggles, and now in this country, as we see the different things are facing all of us, it will be good for us to remember and to apply what we are taught, to be swift to hear in all the different ways, to be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and to be forgiving. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 8. And I'll read this again from the easy-to-read version. Psalm 37, starting in verse 3. So trust the Lord and do good. Live on your land and be dependable. Enjoy serving the Lord, and He will give you whatever you ask for. Depend on the Lord, trust in Him, and He will help you. He will make it as clear as day that you are right. Everyone will see that you are being fair. Trust in the Lord and wait quietly for His help. Don't be angry when people make evil plans and succeed. Don't become so angry and upset that you, too, want to do evil. We need to ask God for and to use the strength to give up.